Miracle at Devil's Bluff by William Poulsen.
Morning, ma'am. I'd like to speak to Mr. Rosenberg, please.
Who's calling, please?
John Ferguson of Angel Springs, Arizona.
It's nice to hear from you, Mr. Ferguson. You didn't come to the switchboard, Mr. Ferguson. Can I ask how you knew Mr. Rosenberg's direct number?
You sure can, ma'am. I was given it by a friend of mine, John Adams of Houston, Texas. You see, ma'am, I'm thinking about opening up a Wild West park, and old John thought it might be an idea to have your Mr. Rosenberg look things over first.
Will you hold up for a moment, please, Mr. Ferguson?
Yes, Molly?
Mr. Rosenberg, I have a Mr. Ferguson of Angel Springs, Arizona on the line. He was given your direct number by Mr. Adams at Houston. Do you want to take the call?
Well, if he's a friend of John Adams, I'll have to speak to him. Put him through, Molly.
Yes, Mr. Rosenberg. You're through now.
Good morning, Mr. Ferguson. I believe you're a friend of John Adams. How is he?
Pretty good.
And how's the oil business?
A lot better than the copper business.
I take it the copper is your line, Mr. Ferguson.
Not for much longer. I own the Ferguson mine. Ever heard of it, Mr. Rosenberg?
Sorry to say I haven't.
Well, it don't matter. Be closing down soon. Used to be one of the biggest copper mines in the Southwest.
I thought the copper market was pretty firm at the moment.
Don't matter none how firm the market is if there ain't no ore left to mine.
You've got a point, Mr. Ferguson. How can I help you?
Well, I was thinking of opening up a Wild West park, something to bring in the tourists, show folks what the pioneer days were like. You see, Mr. Rosenberg, the Salvation Trail ran right through Angel Springs. Wasn't much of a spring, but it was the only good water for 20 miles in any direction. Wagon trains used to rest up here before heading west through Hellfire Pass. And over the years, the town just sort of grew. I thought folks might kind of like to see how things were back in the pioneer days.
It's an interesting idea, Mr. Ferguson, but I'll be honest with you. I don't think there's a lot of mileage in it. I've been looking at a map while I've been listening to you. Angel Springs is a long way from anywhere. If people are going to travel that sort of distance, it has to be for a good reason. I don't think a pioneer park is a strong enough pull.
I'd kind of like you to come and take a look.
I'll tell you what I'll do for you, Mr. Ferguson. Mike Erickson is one of my best men. He's going to be in Denver week after next. I'll arrange it so that he can drop in on you and talk things over.
I'm sure he's a good man, but I'd kind of like you to look things over for yourself.
I'm afraid it's not that easy, Mr. Ferguson. I've got a pretty heavy schedule for the next couple of months.
I'd be willing to pay if that's the problem.
Before you get into that, Mr. Ferguson, I'd better tell you that my fee is $10,000 a day.
Plus expenses?
No, I meet my own expenses.
Well, John Adams said you were good. Good, but expensive. He didn't say how expensive. When can you come out?
I have to admire your persistence, Mr. Ferguson. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll fly out next weekend. If you can arrange transport from the airport, I'll arrive Friday and stay through Sunday. I'll make it an all-in fee of $20,000. How does that sound to you?
I'll go along with that. Albie can pick you up and you can stay at my place. It ain't as good as some of your New York places, but I think you'll find it's not too bad.
I'm sure it'll be just fine, Mr. Ferguson. I'll have my secretary sort out the details and then she'll call you right back.
Sure thing. See you soon.
Goodbye, Mr. Ferguson.
Mr. Rosenberg? Mr. Samuel Rosenberg?
That's me. Are you from Mr. Ferguson?
Sure am. I'm ranch foreman, head cook, and bottle washer. Name's Alveston. Everybody calls me Al.
Nice to meet you, Albie. Everybody calls me Sam.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Rosenberg. Give me those bags.
If you'll take the big one, I'll be fine with this one here.
Sure thing.
Is it far to the ranch?
Oh, not far. About an hour.
Been with Mr. Ferguson long?
40 years. Come next fall.
What sort of man is he?
Oh, I don't know how you'd put it. I guess you Easterners would have fancy words for it. I'd say Mr. Ferguson was a real Western man. You know what I mean? You can depend on him. A man who takes care of himself and looks out for his neighbors. You want to put that bag in the trunk?
No, thanks. I'll keep it with me. I guess you've lived in Angel Springs all your life.
Except for a 5-year hitch in the Navy.
So tell me, what's it like?
Angel Springs? I don't know. Hard to say. You'll probably find it quiet being from New York, but I like it. You get to know everybody real well. I suppose everybody knows your business and you know theirs. You can walk from one side of town to the other in an hour or so and still have time to say hello to the folks you meet. I've been to New York and I didn't like it. It ain't anything like Angel Springs.
I imagine you would find quite a difference.
Sure did, Mr. Rosenberg. You see, the way I figured it, the trouble with New York was that nobody knew anybody else. Nobody trusted nobody. Now, you got to know people before you can trust them. Now, you take all that trouble with the blacks. Now, we ain't got all that many blacks, I give you that. But you take Sam Jones, he runs the grocery store. Now, there ain't nobody blacker than Sam, but I'd trust him with every cent I got. Now, it ain't that I trust him because he's black. I trust him because I know him. You get my point?
Small is beautiful.
Something like that. You know, the best thing about this place is the free way out of it. You know that feeling you get when you reach some corner or turn it, that you're on your way home? I get it every time I join this freeway. Know what I mean?
Sorry, Albie. Can't really say that I do.
Well, maybe you would if you'd been raised in Angel's Grave.
Howdy, Mr. Rosenberg. Welcome to Angel Springs.
Hello, Mr. Ferguson. It feels good to be here. This really is one of God's beauty spots.
Glad you like it. Did Albie take good care of you all right?
Yes, thank you.
Good. Albie, take Mr. Rosenberg's bags up to his room, then what's left of food, huh?
Just something light for me, please. I ate on the plane.
You mean to say you managed to eat that stuff they serve up on those planes? Mr. Rosenberg, you sure do have strange tastes.
Something you get used to, Albie.
Well, that's about the size of it, Mr. Rosenberg. Are you sure you've eaten enough? Plenty more there.
More than enough, thank you.
Good. Yep, the mine has another year at best, and that's if the copper price stays good. If it drops, mine could close within a month.
I appreciate your problem, Mr. Ferguson. But I'm not convinced about your Pioneer Park.
Now, you're wrong there. I've been to Disneyland. Now, there's millions of people go there every day. Now, if we had something small but on the same lines, then folks would be bound to want to see it. We could have real wagons, Indians, shootouts, all kinds of stuff like that. You know, Mr. Rosenberg, the Indians were the finest light cavalry the world has ever seen. And we could have the Indians attacking a circle of wagon trains, then the cavalry chasing off the Indians, all kinds of stuff like that.
I can see what you mean, Albie, but setting up something like that has to be well thought out. You can't just stick the park in the middle of nowhere and expect people to arrive out of thin air. Other factors have to be taken into consideration. For instance, what other amenities and attractions are there in the area?
Well, I don't know about that. Me and Mr. Ferguson went down to Florida a year before last and visited Disney World. Seems to me there ain't nothing else down there but swamps and alligators.
And winter sunshine, ready-made tourist industry, Space Center, small extras like that.
Anyways, I'm sure you'll have a good think about it, Mr. Rosenberg.
I will. I was wondering if someone could show me around the area tomorrow. I thought it might be nice to do it on horseback.
Yeah. Albie, could you show Mr. Rosenberg round?
Be glad to. What time you want to start?
Say breakfast at 7.
That'll suit me real fine. I like an extra hour or two in bed on a Saturday morning.
Are you sure you can ride?
I'm no John Wayne, but I'll be okay.
If you say so. This here animal's Clipper. He won't do anything stupid. Don't pull too hard. He's got a soft mouth.
Hello there, Clipper. I'm sure we'll get along fine.
Where do you want to go?
Along the Salvation Trail.
Okay. There's the trail. Comes across the flats to Angel Springs. The wagon trains used to hold over for a day or so, you know, rest up, take on fresh water. Then they'd head on west through Hellfire Pass and across Damnation Salts. When they crossed the salts, they'd follow a small river called Rachel's Tear through the gap between Kingdom and Glory Mountain.
Who made up those names?
Story is it was some old trailblazer called Isaac Bodell. Seems he used to carry a Bible with him, and he gave places names that he felt suited him.
I wonder what happened to him.
I don't know. Story is he got killed by a bear up in Oregon. I don't know if that's true. Now, if you hold here at the top of the ridge, you can look right out over the trail.
That must be Hellfire Pass over there.
Sure is.
Then across there...
Damnation Salt.
That seems well named.
I guess so.
That river, what was it again?
Rachel's Tear.
It must flow down that gap between the mountain peaks.
You got it.
Tell me, Albie, which is your favorite spot of all?
I guess that'd be Devil's Bluff.
Where's that?
Oh, just north of town.
What's it like?
Tall. Near on 1,000 feet, straight up.
Why did he call it Devil's Bluff?
I don't know. You know, out here we call those big blocks of rock bluffs. Well, at the bottom of Devil's Bluff, there's a pool of water. It ain't reliable like Angel Springs. Sometimes it's there and sometimes it ain't. Even when it's there, you can't drink it. The water's got lots of minerals or something in it. I don't know what, but it's sour. So, maybe old Isaac thought the pool was some sort of bluff by the devil, you know, like a bluff in poker.
Play on words.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'd like to see it. Is it far?
No, not too far. We can ride along the trail for a spell, then cut north.
It sure is a glorious day to be out in the open.
Mr. Rosenberg, we don't have nothing but good days.
Then let's enjoy it, Albie.
Sure thing. Come on, Blaze. Let's show this city boy what a good day really is.
You boys had a good day?
We have indeed, Mr. Ferguson.
Where'd you go?
Along the trail a ways, then north, up as far as Devil's Bluff.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Rosenberg, what do you think of this part of the country?
Beautiful. Very harsh and very beautiful.
Hungry?
I sure am.
I'll get you something to eat.
If it's all right with you, Mr. Ferguson, Albie and I are going to eat in town.
Oh.
We thought we might wash the dust down with a cold beer.
Fine. Suit yourselves.
Would you like to come into town, boss?
No, thanks, Albie. I'll watch the game on TV. You boys have yourselves a good time in town. Morning, Albie.
Morning, boss.
Where's Mr. Rosenberg?
He left before first light. Loaded Clipper on the back of the four-wheel drive and took off.
Did he say where he was going?
Nope. Just said he'd be back late afternoon.
Did you boys have a good time last night?
Sure did.
What did you make of him?
Mr. Rosenberg?
Yeah.
Never did meet a dude with so many questions in him.
What sort of questions?
You name it. Questions about the trail, town, people. You know, boss, I was thinking about him. He asks a lot of questions, but he never tells you anything about himself.
He's supposed to be good at his job.
Well, time will tell. He said he'd talk to you tonight after dinner.
Maybe we'll find out how good he is. You gonna fix that fence out on the west run?
Yeah.
Come on. I'll give you a hand. Enjoy your dinner?
Yes, thank you. All that horse riding does wonders for the appetite.
I used to have a pretty good appetite myself. Don't seem to enjoy my food anymore. Sign of old age, I guess. If you want a drink, help yourself.
Thanks, but I'll just finish my coffee. Magnificent view.
I like it.
That's some window.
27 feet long. Have to have the glass specially made. I guess some folks might think I'm getting strange, but there's nothing I enjoy more than just sitting here watching the sunset. You see those two mountains in the distance? Best part of the day when the sun's rays just tip those peaks. Kingdom and Glory Mountains, Mr. Rosenberg. When I was about 16, I rode across the Salts and climbed Glory Mountain. Always wanted to know what it looked like on the other side. Well, Mr. Rosenberg, I had a look, then I looked back here and decided there was no place in the world I could like better. So, here I stayed. Never wanted to live anywhere else. I've been places since, Europe and the Pacific, but, you know, I never lost that feeling. That's why I don't want Angel Springs to die. To me, it's all I want America to be. We look after our own. Don't ask help from nobody. You see, Mr. Rosenberg, I believe we should give to the country. Seems to me that too many people just want to take. When the mine closes, folks will be pretty hard hit. I suppose most other towns in our position would be running to the state or federal governments for handouts. We're not like that. We do things for ourselves. Don't suppose you can understand that.
Don't put me down, Mr. Ferguson. I may be a city boy, but I guess everyone thinks that small-town America is something special. A dream of what life should be like.
I want that dream to survive, Mr. Rosenberg. It's important to me. I want people to remember the pioneers. It was their dream that made this country what it is. I want people to remember that.
That's why you had this idea of a pioneer theme park, a Disneyland with covered wagons.
Sure, something like that. I know I haven't got enough money to build the whole thing, but I've got enough to get started.
To build a park on the scale you want wouldn't cost millions, Mr. Ferguson. It would cost hundreds of millions. Are you into that kind of money?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I can make you a deal. I can give you something that will bring people in from all over the country, possibly all over the world. Something America doesn't have but will welcome with open arms. And it won't cost millions. It will cost you $250,000 every Thanksgiving. All in price, no hidden extras.
Go on. I'm interested. What is it?
Ah, there you have a problem. I can't tell you.
You expect me to pay out that sort of money for something I can't even judge?
Afraid so. It's all a question of faith, Mr. Ferguson. You have to have faith in me or nothing will work.
And you can't give me any clues?
Nope.
Put up or shut up, huh?
That's about the size of it.
You play poker, son?
Yes, I do.
Do you win?
Now and then.
You might just be one hell of a player. Now, let me get this straight. You're going to do something special.
Unique.
Unique. Something unique that'll bring in thousands of people.
That's right.
But you can't tell me what it is.
You have it.
And it's going to cost me $250,000 every Thanksgiving.
Right.
What happens if I don't pay?
Remember the story about the Pied Piper of Hamelin?
Sure. Played music and cleared the town of rats. I get it. If I don't pay, you take the kids away, huh?
Nothing so drastic. But I do pull the plug and the whole thing goes down the drain.
This idea of yours, will it really work?
Like a dream.
Okay, son. Oh, bye. What do I have to do?
You make sure every piece of land within 20 miles of Angel Springs is sewn up. Clear deeds and titles. Every rock, blade of grass, grain of sand. Then you expand the motel, build a trailer park, and get ready for the rush.
What do I say to folks when they ask why I'm doing all this?
Tell them that you're building a Wild West park. Tell them about the covered wagons, the Indians, the scouts, the cowboys. Just like you told me, word for word.
But it's all a bluff. You know, son, I'd like to get you at a poker table with a few of the boys just to find out how good you really are.
Sounds good.
Maybe we could have a few hands at Thanksgiving.
I'll look forward to it. Perhaps I could have that drink now.
Help yourself. You know something? I think I'll join you. I'll have a shot of bourbon. Maybe we should drink to this idea of yours, huh?
Here's to the future of Angel Springs.
Thanks. I'll drink to that. And here's to your luck.
Luck, Mr. Ferguson, has nothing to do with it.
You mind if I sit here? Help yourself. Kind of crowded.
Yeah, it always is at lunchtime.
Could you pass the ketchup?
Sure.
Thanks. Do you live here?
Yep.
Things seem kind of busy for a small place like this.
Been like this for the last month or so.
What's going on?
Oh, a new development coming in. We're building a Wild West park, you know, like Disneyland.
Way out here?
Oh, sure. The ideal place for it. Angel Springs is the main stopping point on the Salvation Trail.
Never heard of it.
Well, you never heard of the Salvation Trail?
I guess I skipped school the day they told us about it.
I thought everybody heard of it. After the wagon trains came the railroad, they made a movie about it.
What was it called?
Run West to the Sun.
Never heard of it.
It was a good movie.
I take your word for it. Maybe I'll catch it on TV sometime.
Yeah, look out for it. It's real good.
You seem to know a lot about things around here.
I should. I'm the main reporter on the local newspaper, the Angel Springs Bugle.
Ain't you kind of young for that?
Well, when I say the main reporter, there's only two of us. There's Mr. White. He's the editor and writes most of the stuff. I write everything else.
That sounds important.
Oh, it sure is. But it's only a beginning. Now, one day I'll be writing for the Herald or the New York Times. You just wait and see.
I guess you will. I'll look out for your name. What is it?
Oh, Baird. James Baird.
I'll look out for you, James Baird.
What's your name?
Kelly.
Is that all?
Adam Kelly, but Kelly's enough.
You just passing through?
Maybe.
Touring around?
Sort of. We're just traveling.
No, you're with a bunch of people.
Nope. Just me and my old lady.
Oh, on vacation.
You could say that. We're visiting places.
Hippie communes, places like that, huh?
Hell no. Just because I'm dressed like this don't mean I live in a commune. Me and my old lady are more interested in our own space than any colony. No, we're looking up all the places with Angel in their name.
Why'd you want to do that?
It's a long story, but, well, my old lady has had this sort of dream, and we're looking for the place in her dream.
And what's the dream about?
You ain't gonna laugh.
I won't laugh.
Well, my old lady is beautiful. You could travel 1,000 miles and never see anybody like her. Long blonde hair, blue eyes. She had an accident when she was just a kid, lost a leg. No, it don't matter none to me, and up to 6 months ago, it didn't matter to her. Then the dream started. Just little bits at first, but the dream got stronger. The dream kept coming, getting clearer and clearer, till in the end, she had it all. My old lady says that the Virgin Mary comes to her and tells her to swim at dawn in a pool at the foot of a giant rock, and she'll get her leg back. Pool is out in the desert near a place named after the angels. Now, I think it's pretty crazy, but my old lady wants to live out the dream, so I go along with her. We live in San Francisco, so I guess that the place she was looking for was somewhere in the desert near Los Angeles, City of the Angels. Man, we spent weeks looking for that damn pool. Never did find it. So we started looking further out. Been in the VW camper for weeks now, and we've never found it yet.
What does the place look like?
There's a track through the desert. Then some hills, drop through the hills till you come on some real rough country. In front of you is like a long canyon, and at the end of the canyon is something like a mountain. My old lady says the sides go straight up, and the top of the mountain is flat. At the bottom of the mountain is a pool, cool and deep and clear.
Devil's Bluff.
What?
The place, it's just north of here. It's called Devil's Bluff.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'll take you there.
You sure we got it? Yeah,
positive.
Hey, man, could you spare a few minutes to speak to my old lady? We checked into the motel. Come and have a beer with us.
Well, my lunch hour is nearly over. I have to be back by 2. But then again, you have to be adaptable. Yeah, I'd be delighted to have a beer.
Man, I sure am glad I met you.
I like to...
Honey, you decent?
Sure, come on in.
I got company. This here is James Baird. Honey, can I switch this off? This guy is the local reporter. We might have found the place you've been dreaming about. Jim Boy, this is my...
Give me more details.
No, you tell me what it's like. Just like you were driving up to it. I'll know if it's the place.
Okay, well, as you drive across the desert, you come to some low hills.
Oh, what do they look like?
Oh, kind of small and smooth. No trees or scrub or anything like that. Just barren rock.
Go on.
Well, then you cross the hills, drop down, and you start into a long draw canyon.
That's right.
The track is rough and bumpy. Lots of boulders and chuck holes. At the end of the canyon is a big rock, Devil's Bluff. It's high. I don't know, 1,000, maybe 1,200 feet high. It's about half a mile across.
It does sound like it, honey.
Can you tell me a bit about your dream, Miss Mary?
I don't understand at all, but it's not like a normal dream. You know, in a dream, if you don't like what's happening, you can change it. I can't do that with this dream. It's like I'm in somebody else's dream.
Well, what happens?
Well, I'm standing in front of this pool, and this woman is standing on the water. She's smiling at me and telling me to come into the water. I ask her why. She says, 'cause I want your leg to come back. I say, well, why me? But she smiles and says to trust her. I look up, and there's this great big rock behind the pool, and I get a bit frightened. But she says, everything is going to be fine.
What does she look like?
Oh, she's beautiful, real beautiful.
What happens next?
I go into the pool. The water's real cold, like it's full of ice cubes. You'd think water out in the desert would be warm, but this water's real cold. It's nice, though. Feels good. Tastes kind of funny, but it's nice swimming in it. The beautiful lady is standing beside the pool, and she tells me to come out. I walk straight out of the pool. Can you believe it? I just walk. I look down, and I've got two legs. I look up, and the beautiful lady just smiles at me and fades away.
Does she tell you who she is?
She don't have to. I know she is. I've seen her picture lots of times in the church. She's the Virgin Mary.
But she doesn't say that's who she is.
Like I say, she don't have to. I've seen statues of her. She's the Virgin Mary. You don't believe me, do you?
Well, I didn't say that.
Will you look at this, Mr. Reporter? What do you see?
You know what I see.
Well, tell me.
A stump?
That's right, a stump where there should be a leg. Tomorrow I'll have a leg, you'll see.
Don't get upset, honey.
I ain't upset.
And I'm sorry, Miss Mary. I believe your dream, and I'm sure everything will come true.
How do we get to this Devil's Bluff?
I'll show you on the map.
I never was too good with maps. Just tell me.
Okay, well, you take a left out of the motel. At the gas station, you take a right. That takes you north out of the town. About 3 or 4 miles out, you pass an old shack. You turn off left and just follow the track. You come to a fork, take the left fork, and that takes you to Devil's Bluff. You can't miss it.
I got that. Right at the gas station, 3 miles out of town, take a left at the old shack, then take the left fork.
You got it. You going now?
No. We'll go in the morning. Has to be at dawn.
If you come back to Rose's Roadhouse, I'll treat you to champagne for breakfast.
I'll be there.
Well, I gotta go back to work. I'll see you tomorrow. You're a lucky person, Miss Mary.
I know.
See you tomorrow. You gotta help me, Kaiser.
Look, if you think I'm gonna climb a goddamn mountain in the dark to chase after some fairy tale, you better think again.
But I believe her.
Then you're crazier than they are. Look, boy. You said yourself they were a couple of hippies. They were probably spaced out on drugs or something.
No, they weren't. They were nice people. If you won't come, lend me your cameras and long lens.
No way.
Come on, Kaiser. Think of all the things I've done for you.
Name one.
I took those photographs at the barn dance for you when you were drunk.
I was not drunk.
No, you couldn't stand.
I was ill. That was all. That was some bug.
I took the photographs at graduation day. Remember? You were spending the afternoon at the motel with that lady.
Yeah, all right. I just asked for one, didn't I?
Then you'll come.
God damn it, kid. I hope you do make it for the big newspaper. I hope you make it real soon.
Ah, you won't regret it, Kaiser.
Kid, I regret it already.
I'll pick you up.
Yeah, throw me when you get up. I can't remember the last time I got up before dawn.
Thanks, Kaiser.
Yeah, sure, kid. I don't see why we couldn't wait till it got light.
Because we have to be in position before she gets into the pool. You know that. Now, just quit belly aching, huh?
Belly aching? Me? Not me, boy. Nothing I like better than carrying a load of cameras up a goddamn mountain in the goddamn dark. For God's sake, boy, don't bang that box around. There's $5,000 of equipment in that box. It doesn't belong to the Bugle. I paid for it.
I'm sorry.
Sorry? What goddamn good is sorry? Sorry doesn't buy a new camera.
Yeah. Well, I reckon this should be high enough.
Oh. Any higher, and you need oxygen. Well, put that box on the ledge and give me a hand with this tripod.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You know, I think it's beginning to get light. When will it be light enough to take the pictures, huh?
Oh, this baby, about another 10, 15 minutes. Best lens in the world.
Look at the top of Devil's Bluff. Turning pink. I've never sat in the desert and watched the sun come up. Kind of beautiful, ain't it?
Sure. Grab hold of this.
Hey, look, headlights. It must be them.
Yeah. Don't know anybody else fool enough to come out to this godforsaken place at this goddamn time of the morning.
Can you see the pool?
Nope.
Well, what are we going to do?
Wait till it gets light enough. What do you want me to do? Shine a goddamn flashlight on her?
Oh, here's the sun.
Eh? Well, glory be. Will you look at this? See how the sun's shining through that gap, straight onto the pool like a goddamn searchlight.
It is them. It's their VW. Can you take the pictures now?
Well, it'd be better if he parked more to the left, but yes, I can manage.
Yeah, now that's her. Can you see her?
Sure can. Ain't too many one-legged blondes in this part of the world.
Can you stop taking shots now?
I suppose so.
There. They're in the light now. How's that?
No problem. Like I was standing next to them. Yeah. Shall we skip it while she gets changed?
Too late.
Oh, damn it, boy. She had nothing on under that rope. She's naked as a jaybird. This is sick. I feel like a peeping Tom.
How was I to know she wouldn't wear anything?
I'm not taking any more shots. Well, it's not like she was normal. Sneak new shots of a cripple. You know what this is, boy? This is perverted, boy. Perverted.
Ah, you might as well. Besides, she's in now anyway. You can't see much.
You want to look through this lens? That water's as clear as crystal.
We can always destroy the film.
Okay, boy. But I warn you that when this is over, I'm going to do just that.
God, that water looks cold. Yeah. Ah, she's a good swimmer, leg or no leg. I wish I could dive under like that.
Practice, that's all. Okay, baby, up you come. Nice smile for Daddy. That's it, honey.
How deep is she going?
I don't know. I lose sight of her. Maybe 10, 12 feet, maybe more. That's it, honey. Up for Daddy. Nice smile. Oh, beautiful. Okay, baby. You want to go under again, that's all right by me. I'll be waiting for you to come up.
She seems to be down a long time.
Oh, relax. She knows what she's doing. She's enjoying herself.
Well, how long has she been under?
I don't know. 30, 40 seconds, maybe.
It seems longer than that.
30 seconds can be a long time.
Yeah, well, I think I'll time her next time.
But she doesn't stay down longer than a minute.
$5?
$5. Yeah, here she comes. Hold on, honey. That was too quick.
God almighty. Kaiser, she's got two legs.
Eh? Oh, steady, boy. Just an optical illusion.
No. Honestly. I swear to you, she had two legs.
We'll soon know. Here she comes again.
She must have. Just look at her. She's going crazy. Eh? I tell you, Kaiser, that girl has two legs. Look, she's going down again. Is that slow enough for you, huh? Look at that, I told you.
God, I don't believe it. It's gone.
It is.
No.
It is. Look, there she goes. Two legs. I told you.
I don't believe it.
What did you see her that time?
I saw her, but I still don't believe it.
Quick, she's coming out. Oh, just look at her. Did you ever see more beautiful legs? Are you getting all this?
Stop pushing. Of course I'm getting it. Jesus, what? You know what this means?
It's a miracle.
Oh, much more than that, boy. Much more than that. These pictures are going to make me the richest photographer in the whole goddamn world. We're millionaires, boy. Millionaires.
Keep shooting.
Hamburg.
Oh, look at that. Cartwheels. Would you believe it? Cartwheels. Are you getting shots of the boyfriend? Look at him. He can't believe it.
I don't wonder.
Hey, did you get that when he picked her up, huh?
I've got it all, boy. Every second.
Come on, we got to get down there.
I've got to pack these cameras.
No, never mind the cameras. Just bring the film from one camera.
Hey.
But come on, leave them. This is a story of the century. Come on, Kaiser. We got to catch them.
But you got to print it, boss. It's all true, I swear.
I can't, Jamie. If I do, you'll be a laughingstock.
But the pictures, just look at
them. They could be fake.
Now, just hold on a second. I took those pictures. They are genuine.
Okay, now slow down a minute and look at what you got. A girl tells you she's had a dream that she's going to get her leg back. You two watch her swimming out of Devil's Bluff, and glory be, now she's got two legs. But the girl and her boyfriend disappear, and you're left with a set of photographs. It's not enough. My guts are telling me this is a put-up job. If I print this story, it'll get picked up. And if it's a setup, we'll all be fools.
Look at it this way, Alex. We have two choices. It's either genuine or fake. If it's genuine, it's the story of a century. A real miracle with photographs to back it up. There's never been anything like it. If it's a fake, then it's one of the best there has ever been. So it's still a good story. Whichever way the ball bounces, we win. This is a story about capital M for money. We can't lose.
Only our self-respect. Professional integrity.
But, Alex, this is the chance of a lifetime. It's a great story, real or fake. There's no price you can put on the copyright. We hang on to the copyright, and it's like having our own printing press, turning out dollar bills like they were toilet paper. We split the copyright 50-50.
What about Jamie?
Okay, 40-40. With 20 for the kid. How does that sound, boy?
I'm not interested in the money, only the story.
Spoken like a true infant. What do you say, Alex?
Look, you'd have to watch how you wrote it, Jamie. Don't say, I saw a miracle. Say things like, I couldn't believe my eyes and had to ask myself if I was witnessing a miracle. Write it carefully, then go through it with a fine-tooth comb. Watch you don't commit yourself.
I think I can do that.
So, you'll print it?
I'll print it. Don't say a word to anyone. And may God help us if we've got this wrong.
May I have the key to my room, please? My name is Rogers, Ed Rogers. I have a reservation.
Now, hold on a minute, mister. Everybody says that. Now, what was your name again?
Rogers. Ed Rogers. New York Tribune.
Rogers.
R-O-G.
Yeah, I got you. Room 12. Now, hang on. I can't seem to find the keys. I can't be too careful. Everybody claims they made a reservation. Usually they're lying.
Yeah, pretty popular place.
Mister, since the miracle, I got people sleeping in broom cupboards. We got everybody here. TV people, reporters, blind people, lame, crippled. You name them, we got them. They're coming from all over.
Nice for business.
Oh, can't complain about business. We just finished an extension as well. Boss says he wished he'd made it five times bigger.
I guess he picked a lucky time to expand.
You can say that again, mister. Ah, here it is, room 12. I swear these keys have a life of their own. You put them down for 1 minute, they walk away.
Thanks. Do you know the local newspaper, man?
That youngster? Yeah, James Baird.
No, the other one.
Mr. White. No, he don't give interviews. But the young one, he'll talk to you till the cows come
home.
Yeah,
I'm sure he will. But Mr. White, it is Alex White, isn't it?
That's right.
Is he about 50, a tall, broad-shouldered, thick wavy hair and glasses?
That's right. You know him?
I think so.
Like I said, he don't give interviews.
That's okay. I think he might talk to me.
Excuse me. I couldn't help overhearing. Do you really know Mr. White?
I do.
Do you think I could come with you when you speak to him?
Which paper are you with?
I'm not a reporter. My name is Gomez, Father Gomez. I'm a priest.
Nice try.
I am who I say I am.
Sure you are.
I assure you I am a priest. I have papers.
Of course you have. Look, mister, it's the easiest thing in the world to hire a costume. I've seen it all before.
What do you want me to do? Say math?
Anything but that. Do you drink beer?
Yes.
I'll pick up a six-pack and join me in room 12. We'll talk about it.
Come in. It's open.
Six-pack as requested.
Oh, open a couple while I finish unpacking. Oh, that's better. Oh, it's hot as hell. And, oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Where are you from?
Reno.
Nevada? This is pretty far out of your parish. I should have thought there was enough sin in Reno to keep you busy. Why are you here?
I want to look into this business for myself.
Why?
I was discussing it with my bishop. He thought it would be a good idea. The break would also give me time to think some things out for myself.
I didn't think priests would have problems.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
Well, as a priest, what do you really think of all this miracle business?
Will you quote me?
Well, if you don't want me to.
Off the record. If it is a true miracle, then it's the biggest thing to happen to the church since Lourdes of Fatima.
And if it's a hoax?
It could do immeasurable harm.
Well, and which do you think it is?
I'm not sure, but I think it's a hoax.
You're damn right it is.
Well, what makes you so sure?
My guts tell me. I'm never wrong. This whole business has a smell about it.
What are you going to do about it?
I'll throw over another beer. Oh, thanks. Well, first I'm going to take a good look around. Then I'm going to call on Alex White.
What makes you think he'll see you?
He'll see me. Out of curiosity, if nothing else. I knew him in Vietnam. He was a big reporter in those days. I was just starting out. He'll see me.
Do you think I could come with you?
Sorry, Father, not a chance. But we could team up. There's places I can get to that you can't. I'm sure there are people who wouldn't talk to me, but will talk to you.
And we share all our information.
Everything.
That sounds reasonable. Where do we begin?
First, we finish our beers. Then we look around. After that, I'll call on Alex White while you call on some of the old, established Catholic residents of Angel Springs and ask them what they think. Then I'll meet you back here. I'll ask the room clerk to let you in. Agreed?
Agreed.
Come in, Ed.
Hello, Alex.
Come on in. It was great to get your call. When I heard you were in town, I wondered if you would look me up. Oh, boy, it's been a long time, Ed. It's good to see you. You look terrific.
You look pretty good yourself. You put some dye on your hair, lose a few pounds, and you'd look just the same as when I last saw you.
How long has it been?
22 years come New Year's Eve.
22 years. Oh, that's incredible. Hey, have a drink.
Sure.
Beer or bourbon?
Bourbon.
Right. Coming up. Here you are.
Thanks. Here's to us.
To us. Hey, you look great, Ed. Sort of distinguished. It's a change from those jeans and combat jackets you used to live in. What are you doing these days?
I cover Washington now. All politics.
Oh, I pity you.
I enjoy it.
So what brings you here? Doesn't sound like your sort of story.
It's not, but if your name hadn't come up, I wouldn't have been interested. But it did, so I asked if I could do a feature. Front office said yes, so here I am.
So you thought you could get an inside angle.
Maybe. But I wanted to see how things had turned out for you. Your name comes up now and then. You remember Claire Redpath?
Sure.
She remembers you. We drank to your health last Christmas. I was in Paris and we had Christmas dinner together.
How is she?
Lonely. Oh, she's very successful. Head of the European end now. Still attractive. A bride, good company. After dinner, we had some brandy and played the game of what might have been. Claire wondered what her life might have been if she'd married you.
Have another drink.
Thanks. Did you ever think of marrying her?
Yeah. That did cross my mind.
Well, maybe it's a pity you didn't ask her.
Oh, I don't know. My life was pretty messed up at the time. Claire was a big help, but if I had married her, I would probably have leant on her for the rest of my life. Besides, if I had, she would never have become head of the European office.
Well, if you ever happen to go to France, look her up.
Oh, no. I don't think I'll be doing any more traveling. How about you? Did you get married?
No. Never seemed to have the time.
Hey, let's drink to the ladies.
Whoa, that's plenty. To the ladies.
The ladies.
I heard you went out to the West Coast.
I did. After I came back from Nam, I stayed in Washington for a spell, and I was transferred to England. I made a mess of that. I got brought back to New York, then I quit and went out to California for a while. I couldn't settle. One night I was having a few beers with Kaiser. Hey, do you remember Kaiser?
Oh, sure.
Well, we decided to quit the whole mess. We thought we would try and buy a small paper and run it for ourselves. The rest is a long story, but in the end, we made it.
Yeah, so you settled quietly in a sleepy little backwater
and let the world flow past.
That's right.
And it worked out pretty good. Highlight of the year was covering the state fair. Nothing much happened. It was a lovely, gentle life.
Until now.
Yeah, things sure have changed.
For the better?
Well, I've certainly made a lot more money. The picture rights have already made over $1 million. Circulation of the Bugle is up fourfold. I even reprint the original edition. I have it printed in Phoenix and bring it in a truckload at a time. It's a sort of souvenir.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I don't know what it's all worth, but it must be a lot of money. A lot more than I'll ever need.
Did you think about all this before you printed the story?
Oh, you bet I did.
But you were happy. You didn't need the money.
I know. But somebody would have printed it. Kaiser and the kid would never let it drop.
But is it a fake?
I don't know. I thought about it a lot. If the story is true, then it's incredible. I thought about the consequences. If it was phony, who would get hurt? People in need of a miracle would come. Maybe if they get a little hope, then that wouldn't be a bad thing. Angel Springs needed the tourists. The town was about to die. Even if the whole thing was phony, it would make people think. I couldn't see any harm in that. A little bit of religion would maybe do some good.
Yeah, but if it's false, then it's a false hope.
Yeah, I know that. I had to ask myself if Kaiser and the kid were involved, or if they really did see something. I thought about it a lot. I'd known Kaiser a long time, and if he was involved in some sort of setup, he would have told me. And I don't think the kid is capable of organizing something like this.
Why didn't you follow the story?
What? Try to find the girl and her boyfriend?
Why not? Come on, they couldn't have disappeared into thin air.
I didn't have the resources, let's face it. The big networks couldn't find them. So what chance would I have had?
But you were closest to the action. They were only one jump ahead of you. By the time everybody else came on the scene, the trail was cold.
Look, I thought about it. But they had almost 4 hours start by the time we got ourselves sorted out. I did get the local police to trace the number of the VW. It turned out it belonged to a Ford Camper in Los Angeles.
I saw the owner on TV. He sounded like a fruitcake. He was taking an oath that his camper hadn't moved from his driveway for a month. Do you think he could have been in on it?
Ah, no. No, I doubt it. You'd have to be crazy to involve somebody like that in something as complicated as this. No, he's just a born-again Christian. When I called him on the phone, he was suspicious at first. But when the whole story came out, he took it as a sign that God had chosen his number as a reward for his rediscovered faith.
So there's nothing in that angle?
Look, Ed, everything I've told you is between ourselves. You can find it all out from other sources and quote them. Fair enough?
Yeah, sure.
You want another drink?
Well, just freshen it up.
Now, if I tell you something, I don't want it printed.
Well, sure.
Or mentioned to Kaiser.
Yeah, sure.
Kaiser has the negatives hidden away for safety. Before he had them, I took them over to Phoenix to the university and had them examined.
What'd they say?
The negs are genuine. Absolutely 100% untouched.
So Kaiser's in the clear.
Oh, no doubt about it. But if he ever finds out that I checked up, you will be enjoying a stay in hospital. You got that?
I got it. What'd they say about the girl?
Well, they said she was pretty.
Yeah, sure, everybody knows that. But did they say it was a miracle?
They're not in the religion business.
Look, you're dodging the question,
Look,
Alex.
They blew the neck so big you could count the grains. The girl had the same birthmarks on her side before and after the miracle.
So it's the same girl. Before and after.
I didn't say that.
The same girl or her identical twin sister. Identical twins? Now you think a switch was pulled?
Come on, I didn't say that.
No, but you think it.
Without fingerprints, there's no way of knowing. Think about it. It could be done. I'm sure you can work out the details.
So if somebody finds the twins, they blow the story.
That's about the size of it.
If the story is blown, what happens to Angel Spring?
The town will have to take its chances. I know it's an old-fashioned principle that doesn't fit in easily with this day and age, but I think the truth is pretty important.
Even if it destroys the town?
Even then. It's a pity you quit the big league, Alex.
I've grown to like the little league. Come on. I'll treat you to dinner.
Oh, and expenses.
Ah, I like the sound of that.
We ate at Sam's.
Yeah, is it the best place in town?
It must be. It's the only place in town.
Oh. Oh, good God. What are you doing here, Father?
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about you.
You scared the daylights out of me. Why didn't you put the light on?
I was praying. It comes more naturally sitting in the dark. Do you know what time it is?
I have a feeling you're going to tell me.
It's almost 3 o'clock in the morning.
If only I had met up with you 20 years ago. Think of all the money I could have saved on watches.
You're drunk.
Almost. And if you're about to give me a $5 sermon, forget it. I'm not in the mood. Care for a nightcap?
No, thank you.
Well, I'm sure you won't mind if I have one.
Did you see Mr. White?
Oh, yes. I saw Mr. White. Mr. White and I have had quite an evening. Quite the best evening I have had for some years. Reliving the old times. And it's as if I pressed a little button in my brain and it brought back all my memories back to life. You know, Alex was talking about a time when we were trapped in a ditch under heavy crossfire. It was as if I was back there. I could hear the noise, feel the heat, smell the earth my nose was pressed into. There was a little black beetle crawling between.
Oh. Did you get Mr. White to talk about the miracle?
Miracle? That. We talked some.
What did he say?
Oh, he's clean, I'm sure of that. So is the photographer, Kaiser, and the kid who brought the story in. You know, Father, I told you there was a smell about this business. Well, there is, the smell of money. It's making money, and it cost money to set it up. Alex White doesn't have that sort of money. But somebody in this town does. A man called...
Ferguson. John Ferguson.
So you've been busy as well. I think we should pay a little call on Mr. Ferguson.
I already have. He stonewalled me. He knows something, but I can't get him to talk.
Maybe I can.
I don't think so. He won't talk to newsmen.
We'll see.
There's another angle.
I'm listening.
Ferguson had a visitor early in the year. A New Yorker. Very smooth. $1,000 suits, $500 shoes. His name was Rosenberg.
Oh, we should be able to find him without too much trouble.
Easier than you think. He's a big wheel on Madison Avenue.
Madison Avenue? Father, you might have hit pay dirt.
I'm glad you think so. I booked us on the 10 o'clock flight to New York.
Oh, Jesus, Father, that sounds a little early.
I didn't know you were going to have an all-night session.
I suppose not.
Well, I think I'll turn in.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, by the way, I booked the tickets in your name. I haven't got much money.
Oh, I'm sure you're good for the loan.
I wasn't thinking in terms of a loan.
Oh, more like a donation?
If you want to call it that.
I wonder if it's tax deductible.
I'll give you a receipt.
Good night, Father.
Good night, Mr. Rogers.
Good of you to see us, Mr. Rosenberg. I'm sure you're a busy man, and we do appreciate you giving us this time. I'm Ed Rogers. I'm a reporter with the New York Tribune, and this is Father Gomez.
Pleased to meet you. How do you do, Father? I'm afraid I don't get too many priests in this office, but if you don't mind my saying, I think your church could do with a little help from Madison Avenue.
And if you'll forgive me, Mr. Rosenberg, I think Madison Avenue could do with some guidance from the church.
Touché, Father. What can I do for you?
Well, to come straight to the point, Mr. Rosenberg, we've just come from Angel Springs.
That's the miracle place, isn't it? Where the girl had her leg restored.
That's right. At a place called Devil's Bluff.
We think it was well named.
I take it you don't believe in the miracle.
Frankly, no.
I see. Well, gentlemen, it's nice of you to call and tell me, but really, I don't see why I should be honored in this way.
Well, you see, Mr. Rosenberg, we have reason to believe that you were in Angel Springs shortly before the alleged miracle.
That's possible.
High flyer like you, in a one-horse town like Angel Springs, strikes us as a little odd, Mr. Rosenberg.
I go to the strangest places, all part of my work.
It's like this, Mr. Rosenberg. We think you arranged the whole thing.
Why would I do that?
To put Angel Springs on the map?
By arranging a miracle.
What better way?
Perhaps you do me too much credit, Father.
You did it with two girls, twin sisters. You made sure the girl's dream was leaked to that young reporter. You'd done your groundwork well. You knew he would fall for it. So you knew there was a good chance he would follow the girl. Shall we call her Girl One? After all, she didn't only have one leg. Girl One makes a big display of swimming in the pool. Then she dives down to her sister, Girl Two, and changes places. Girl Two pops up. Hallelujah, a ready-made miracle.
Nice theory. But how does Girl Two stay down so long? I read something about that theory, but if I remember correctly, she would have had to use an aqualung, and didn't someone discredit that? No bubbles on the photographs?
A Navy issue breathing apparatus doesn't send up bubbles. They're easy enough to get a hold of.
All right. But how did she hide? I believe there are some very clear photographs of the pool, and there's only one girl to be seen.
She hid under something like a ground sheet and covered up with sand.
Gentlemen, you seem to think you know all the answers. Why do you need me?
Did you set this thing up?
Father, how can I answer that? I can only say no. If I did arrange things as you say, my answer would have to be no. And if I didn't, the answer would still be no. Now, where does that leave us? Mr. Rogers, I can think of only one way to settle this. You obviously believe I am behind all this. Fine. Go ahead and print it. Then I'll sue your paper, and we'll battle it out in court. You're quiet, Mr. Rogers. What's the problem? Not sure of your ground?
Mr. Rosenberg, it would be better for everyone if the truth came out now.
Father, why should I set up a Catholic miracle? It's not just that I'm not a Catholic. I'm not even a Christian. You seem very set on disproving this miracle. What's your problem, Father? Is your faith so weak you cannot accept that this miracle could be true? Don't you believe that God is capable of this sort of thing? Or is it just that your own faith in him is smaller than a grain of mustard seed? No, gentlemen, your problem does not lie with me. Your problem lies within yourselves.
I believe God can do anything, Mr. Rosenberg. I just don't believe this is his work.
Well, gentlemen, I'm sorry. I don't seem to be able to help you. It has been extremely pleasant talking to you, but if you'll excuse me, I do have some pressing matters to attend to.
Will you be visiting Angel Springs again?
As a matter of fact, I will. I'm going out there for Thanksgiving.
Perhaps we'll see you there.
I look forward to it.
Till Thanksgiving, then.
Good day, gentlemen.
Mr. Rosenberg. He said he'd be waiting for you outside Sam's place. I'll park the car and catch up with you.
Thanks, Albie.
Hello, Mr. Ferguson. Nice to see you again.
Hello, Mr. Rosenberg. Did you have a good flight?
Yes, thanks. Town seems pretty busy. Is it always like this now?
Nope, never seen Angel Springs as crowded as this. There are a lot of people coming now, but I think it's busier than ever because of the Thanksgiving holiday.
It's a little different from the last time I was here.
Sure is. I asked Albie to drop you in town because I thought you might like to take a look around. Care for a walk?
Lead the way.
Well, over there, that's one of our new diners. There's six of them under construction. And alongside it is another new bank. Yeah, and that is one of the new motels.
I'm surprised that the construction workers are working through the holiday.
Well, time is money, Mr. Rosenberg, and money makes the world go round. I'm sure you know that better than anybody. Here comes somebody I think you ought to meet. Hello, Alex. This here is Mr. Rosenberg. Mr. Rosenberg, meet Alex White, editor of our local newspaper.
Hello, nice to meet you, Mr. White.
Heard a rumor that you were selling up, Alex. Any truth in it?
That's no secret.
We will miss you, Alex, but you're the best judge of your own business, I guess. I hope you got a good price. The Bugle must be a gold mine now.
Oh, it sure is. But it isn't quite the same as before. I liked things better before.
Things are always changing, Mr. White. It's the nature of things.
Right. But they don't always change for the better. You know, Mr. Rosenberg, when I was a reporter in Vietnam, I attended a battlefield press conference. We were in the middle of what had once been a beautiful old city. It was nothing but piles of rubble and smoking ruins. Somebody asked the officer in charge if all the destruction had really been necessary. The soldier, I think he was a colonel, was exhausted and drained. His face was dirty and gaunt. He said, "We have to destroy the city in order to save it." At the time, I thought the guy was too tired to realize what he was saying. But as I look around Angel Springs, I wonder if you can understand what he meant, John.
Don't quite follow you, Alex.
Don't you? Well, look around. This isn't Angel Springs anymore. Angel Springs had a strength, a solid feel to the place, a sense of decency. This is nothing but a plastic, grab-a-buck piece of nothing that's living off a confidence trick.
You don't seem to have done badly out of it, Mr. White.
Oh, you think so, Mr. Rosenberg? I don't normally discuss my business, but I'll tell you something. I had the Bugle valued at what you might call the pre-miracle price. And that's all I've taken out of it.
What have you done with the rest?
Given it to the Red Cross.
That's very noble.
Nobility had nothing to do with it, Mr. Rosenberg. It had more to do with sanity.
Where will you go, Mr. White?
I'm going to try Oregon. If I can't get into newspapers, then at least I can have some decent fishing.
Hi, Alex. How are things going?
Oh, they could be better. I'll be a lot better.
Hey, I'm sorry to hear that.
So am I. Angel Springs was a nice town. If it had to die, it should at least have been allowed to die with dignity.
What are you talking about, Alex?
Nothing, Albie. Nothing that really matters. Oh, by the way, Mr. Rosenberg, a couple of people were asking after you, a priest called Gomez and a reporter called Rogers. I think you've already met Rogers, haven't you? That was some article you wrote about you and our so-called miracle.
I found it interesting.
I bet you did. I can't wait for you to sue him. That'll be some libel case. I hope you call me as a witness. I want a ringside seat at that fight.
We'll see.
They're out at Devil's Bluff. I said I'd meet up with them. Perhaps I'll see you out there.
Could be.
Bye, Mr. Ferguson. Albie.
Bye,
Alex.
Bye, Alex. See you. What was up with Alex? He's selling up, moving out before. He don't like it here anymore. Gee, that's a shame. Well, Mr. Rosenberg, I guess that's the grand tour.
Very impressive. How are things out of Devil's Bluff?
Well, why don't we go and take a look?
That would be nice.
Well, look who we have here, Father. It is not our old friend, Mr. Rosenberg. And you must be Mr. Ferguson.
That's right. I don't think we've met.
No, we haven't. Name's Rogers. Ed Rogers, New York Tribune.
Sorry, Mr. Rogers, I don't talk to reporters. Learned a long time ago that what you say and what gets printed ain't necessarily the same thing.
So, the strange thing is, Mr. Ferguson, that I find the people who find excuses not to talk are usually the ones with most to hide. What do you think, Alex?
I've always found him to be an honest man.
The diplomat, as always, Alex. Well, Mr. Rosenberg, have you seen the proposed layout for the cathedral?
No.
It's on a billboard down by the pool. You must take a look. It's most impressive. It's going to be called the Cathedral of Angel Rock. What do you think of the new name, Mr. Ferguson? Angel Rock? Perhaps Devil's Bluff was a little too close to the truth.
Take it easy, Ed.
Yeah, that's right. Take it easy. Do you think I should take it easy, Mr. Rosenberg?
It's not for me to say.
What's the matter? Have your lawyers told you to keep out of my way?
Sorry to disappoint you, Mr. Rogers, but I didn't consult my lawyers.
Why not? Last time we met, you were going to sue me for every cent if I printed what I thought. As the old saying goes, Mr. Rosenberg, publish and be damned. Well, I published and you were damned.
You think so?
Oh, I do. But don't you mind being called a liar and a cheat in print?
Your article seems to have done me little harm. In fact, quite the contrary. On the day your article was published, two of the biggest accounts in the country came over to my agency, and others have followed since. They seem to think that if I was behind this miracle, then from an advertising point of view, it has to be one of the greatest campaigns ever run. So you see my predicament. If I sue you, I stand to lose some of my professional credibility. In fact, I have to thank you. I have reason to believe I'm going to be named Madison Avenue Man of the Year.
So, you win all round.
It would seem so. What about you, Father? Do you still feel a burning desire to expose my supposed wicked deeds to the world?
Your part in events no longer matters, Mr. Rosenberg. If you did orchestrate the miracle, then what you did was wrong, even evil. But I believe God has forgiven you. He's used you as an instrument, Mr. Rosenberg. Look around. Look at the people. Feel the hope in the air. Listen to the prayers. This is God's place.
How can you say that? Open your eyes, Father, to take a good look around you. Look at what has become of Angel Springs. It has become a town without decency. It worships the dollar. If you have the dollars, then Angel Springs will supply anything or anyone you want, and do it with a smile.
I don't deny that, Ed, but there is good in this place.
There's a lot more evil.
For the moment, that is possibly so, but I believe good will win in the end.
And you're backing a loser. Evil's ahead on points.
I don't think so. Forget about whether or not the original miracle was a setup. Look at the miracles that have taken place since. People have been cured of pain. Some have even managed to recover the use of their limbs.
Autosuggestion, that's all it is. These miracles are nothing but autosuggestion.
You could also call it faith.
Maybe in your book, Father, but not in mine.
There's someone down at the center I'd like you to see, Ed. He's a man from Boston. His family brought him out here because he was paralyzed by a stroke. He couldn't move a muscle or say a word. I'd like you to meet him. When I left a few minutes ago, he was sitting up drinking a cup of coffee and telling everyone how it felt to be reborn.
It's another fake.
Then this time you can prove it. He's agreed to let us look into his medical history. Are you interested in playing devil's advocate?
I sure am. After all, he's the one who's running this place.
I haven't heard about this. Do you mind if I come along?
Would you like to come as well, Mr. Rosenberg?
I think not. Mr. Rogers would only waste time trying to work out if I had a hand in it.
Mr. Ferguson?
No, thanks.
As you wish. Perhaps we'll see you later, Mr. Rosenberg.
I look forward to it.
Bye, Mr. Ferguson.
Come on.
Bye.
Alex?
Oh, Mr. Rosenberg, what do you make of that?
What am I supposed to make of it? Everybody seems to be trying to implicate me in this business.
Now, come on, don't play the innocent with me, son. I'm too long in the tooth.
I don't follow you.
Don't you? I'll make it easy for you. Ever heard of a place called Niebla Blanca? It's a small town in Venezuela.
Is it?
Yep. They tell me it's a nice town. Two Canadians live there with their wives. Nice, quiet, respectable boys, I'm told. They married sisters, you know. Twin
sisters. I believe they're very pretty ladies. One of the sisters has only one leg.
I see.
I thought you might.
How long have you known?
We might just be country boys, Mr. Rosenberg, but... We were waiting for you to make your move. We knew about that girl as soon as she hit town. Knew her story by the time she'd finished talking to that reporter. That boy and the photographer weren't the only ones out at Devil's Bluff that morning. Albie was out there as well. He was in touch with me by radio. I made sure the VW was trailed, and Albie sat tight. Get the picture?
It seems clear enough.
Why did you set it up?
Oh, many reasons. You can take your pick. I wondered if I could give Angel Springs
a new lease of life.
A life created by nothing more than an idea. I'd met the Canadians in the course of my work. Some changes of hairstyle and coloring and some careful planning were all that were needed. I suppose I wanted to see if I could make it work. Maybe it was to test my skill. Maybe it was pride in my ability. Maybe it was vanity. The ultimate advertising campaign. I wanted to see if I could make people cure themselves.
Cure themselves?
Yes, like Mr. Rogers said, autosuggestion is a powerful force that nobody really understands. You see, I made it a Catholic miracle because they have a lot of experience in this field. They know all about so-called miracle cures. Lots of people have been cured at places in Europe, but the Catholic Church is loath to give them any sort of official stamp of approval. I was pretty sure they wouldn't accept this miracle at face value. To be on the safe side, I've given two sets of lawyers' depositions and photographs telling the true story. They have instructions that if it ever seems likely that the miracle is going to be ratified, then the documents are to be handed over to the church.
You played a dangerous game, Mr. Rosenberg.
Possibly. Look at all this. Angel Springs will live, and from what I hear, people have been cured.
This man from Boston, the man with the stroke, did you arrange that as well?
No.
Maybe it's genuine. My God, what if it is? Why should it be?
Maybe God's a businessman and knows a good thing when he sees it.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe he's telling you something, Mr. Rosenberg. Maybe he's telling you he has a sense of humor. Or maybe he's telling you that he has the power to have the last laugh. Who knows?
Perhaps we'll know one day.
I guess so. Well, we made a deal, Mr. Rosenberg, and I'll stick with it. If you'll forgive me, I'll not invite you to be my house guest. Albie will take you back to town. He has your money. In future, we'll send your fee to you by mail.
As you wish. Are you going back to town?
Nope. I'll stay here a while. You see, Mr. Rosenberg, I'm not that strong on religion, but I remember something about not taking the Lord's name in vain. Goodbye, Mr. Rosenberg. I don't expect we'll meet again.
Goodbye, Mr. Ferguson.
Mr. Rosenberg.
Yes?
I don't know if it's occurred to you, but maybe this latest miracle has nothing to do with God. Have you thought about that? All of this might be the work of the devil. Maybe this place is called Devil's Bluff for a very good reason.
It's a thought.
I have a terrible feeling that we're destined to meet in hell.
There is always that possibility, Mr. Ferguson. Didn't someone once say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions?
I know what he meant.
Well, we'll see. Goodbye, Mr. Ferguson.
Goodbye, Mr. Rosenberg. May we never meet again.
Amen to that, sir.
In Miracle at Devil's Bluff by William Poulsen, John Ferguson is played by Robert Beatty, and Samuel Rosenberg by Richard Le Parmentier. Halberston was Bill Bailey, Adam Kelly, Jonathan Taffler, James Baird, Kim Wall, Mary Wallace, Zela Clark, and Kaiser, Alan Dudley. Harry Tao played Alex White, William Hootkins, Ed Rogers, and Michael Morris, Father Gomez. The hotel clerk was played by Simon Cuff. Miracle at Devil's Bluff was written by William Poulsen and directed by Stuart Owen.